Here we go.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, this is a study of about 700 young black males that we recruited as part of a randomized controlled trial. The nice thing about randomized controlled trials of that size and magnitude is that the baseline data can tell us so many good stories. And a question that creates this story that I've had for a long time, and one that actually goes back to Albert Bandura, is a question about the concept of what Bandura at one time called an antecedent phase and an entanglement phase before sex occurs. Antecedent phases are phases where there's arousal and there's some level of intrigue and excitement, but there's really no hormonal rush, the oxytocin's not being released yet, the dopamine's not there. That's the entanglement phase. So the question that was asked in this particular study is very simple. When is the right time to have that conversation about, are we going to use a condom? And that's really what drove this analysis. So we had one question in the baseline data that guys answered, and we used that to predict condom use. So that's what we'll talk about. So everything I just alluded to with Bandura is very academic, but when it comes right down to it, I've worked with young males and females teaching sex education for about 30 years. This is what they relate to. When things swell, you don't think too well. And that's the idea. We want to get kids, young people, to understand you can't wait until the last minute to do this. You have to have this conversation before everyone gets all hot and excited. And so there's really no empirical support for that. You go through the literature and you read, and you think, there must have been someone who did this empirically. We are scientists, after all. We can't just live on theory. So, in fact, this is where theory and empiricism meet. So we did, in fact, put it to the test. So there's the objective. Now, this comes with a very nice bonus, and I'll get to that momentarily. But the reason this is so important is because I think, as many of you are quite aware, it's young black males in this country, whether they're gay or straight, who are carrying the burden of the STI and, more importantly, the HIV epidemic. So this was a consecutive sample, three clinics actually, the largest number of our guys for the study, and there were 15 to 22, came from the Delgado Clinic in New Orleans. If you're familiar with New Orleans, I think we were all there last year for APHA. It's kind of the number one publicly funded clinic there, so they see a lot of people. Also, we recruited from Baton Rouge, not too far from there, because their HIV outbreak and epidemic continues, as well as Charlotte, North Carolina, all from the south, and we did the standard Acasiana tablet. So the reporting, we hope, is a little more reliable and valid. There's several studies showing us that adolescents disclose better if they're being given something on a computer. So we have all kinds of measures of safer sex. That's mostly what I do. I'm a condom researcher, and I've learned over the years it's always good to measure the outcome variable in lots of different ways. And if all your analyses are telling the same story with different versions of the outcome variable, that really provides some weight and strength to the conclusions. So, but it's the second bullet point on the screen that I really want you to focus on. That's what I alluded to a moment ago as the bonus. Because it's one thing to talk about condoms, and it's really important, but in the end, we really shouldn't be focused on condoms. What we care about in public health is STIs and HIV. Now, here, with adolescents this young, and these were all young men having sex with women rather than men, so we wouldn't find a lot of HIV incidents, but we found plenty of gonorrhea and syphilis. So we'll come to that bonus finding in a few moments. So here are the main findings. You can see that it's 61.1% who had recently discussed condom use with one or more partners before having sex. Now keep in mind that this is a measure for the past 2 months. So here, if you're into design, you should be thinking, wow, this is not an event level analysis. And it's not. To do an event level analysis, you have to have your measure taken before each episode of sex, which is very difficult to do. So there's a little room for error there, but that error should actually favor the null hypothesis. So if anything, it works against us. All right, so 12 assessed outcomes, 7 were significantly associated with that one measure. So that's not too bad, 7 out of 12. We did take measures that were longitudinal, but it was only the cross-sectional measures that worked out. And my assumption is because most likely a lot of these young males had different partners and different behaviors as time went by. So the baseline measure wouldn't hold up 2 months later because, again, of partner change. Anyway, let me go through the findings with you. Safer sex behaviors are here. So any unprotected vaginal sex, the way these slides are set up, you can see that on your left, those not having the conversation before sex occurred about condoms, the percent with the risk behavior. So 52.5 had the risk behavior if there was no discussion. Among those who did have the discussion before sex, 42.4, and the difference is significant. So there's some nice empirical support for this idea, which is very intuitive, of when things swell, you don't think too well. We drop down a notch. Again, we see a significant difference in the expected direction, 60.8%, and among those having the conversation, the risk behavior was only reported for 49.4. Not a huge gap between 49.4 and 60.8, but again, we're talking about taking a finding from public health and hopefully using it for all kids who go to clinics. This would be the kind of counseling that could occur in clinics like these, and these small effects can add up. Next finding, condom at last sex. Again, difference favoring the hypothesis of when things swell, you don't think too well. And here you can see it's reversed because now we're not looking at a risk behavior, but a protective behavior. And the effect size is quite large. About 70% used the condom at last sex if they had the conversation, versus 47.5 if not. A few more findings here. If you take your percentage of condom use and dichotomize it, that's another way to look at the outcome measure. As I said earlier, it's good to have multiple ways to look. And if you have the same outcome time after time, it adds some weight of evidence. So here again, significant, and you can see the effect size difference between talking and not talking. And then here, as I said, for some reason, and it's probably a measurement issue, the longitudinal findings just didn't hold up. So this is 6 months' time, not at all, and you see the 0.83. So same thing here, next thing, it's breakage not working out at all. You can see the effect size is minuscule, but for some reason, slippage, condom slippage, was less likely. So maybe when they talk about condoms, they're also talking about condom application, maybe lubricant, maybe condom fit, who knows? There could be lots of things. So we were disappointed the breakage didn't work out, but slippage clearly less likely if the conversation is part of their repertoire. Here, just sort of as a measure of whether kids like condoms, and those who like condoms tend to be the ones who talk about condom use before having sex, which was kind of interesting. We had hoped that dual use would prove to be significant, but no, in the right direction, but the p-value isn't quite there. And here's the big one. So this is the one we really want to know about. Does it, in the end, if we just forget about breakage and slippage and percent of condom use, does it really matter? And the answer is, yes, it does. Because in fact, as you'll notice, this is a longitudinal finding. So this was very powerful to our team when we looked at this, because what it tells us is that the behavior of talking about condoms with your partner before sex is strong enough that 12 months later, those guys have less diagnosed chlamydia and gonorrhea than the guys who don't have that conversation. So this is the kind of thing that's very nice to know about if you work with populations of young people, because it lets you guide your counseling in a way that's empirically driven. It lets you focus with them on something they can do that we think, based on a study like this, can, in the long run, make big differences. So some of you are pretty statistically savvy, so I just want those of you who are in that group to know that, yes, we did adjust for possible confounding and all the things that you're supposed to do, and no, it did not change any of the findings, with one exception. And there's always that but. And the but's the second bullet point on this slide, and there you can see that when we did control for the multiple sex partners, that really that association with STDs drop down to that dangerous level. It's kind of gray. Some people say 0.05 counts. Other people are like, no, 0.05 doesn't count. You decide, but that's the real number. There's no value after the 5. It's 0.050. So, but a lot of people in public health are getting pretty savvy about p-values not being the end-all anyway. So I'm pretty comfortable saying that this is an important effect. So there's the conclusion slide, and again, it's all about counseling and education. This is primarily what I've been doing in my 20-year career in public health, is designing clinic-based condom use counseling and education protocols. And what this little study does is it informs those protocols. And you want to get young men, in this case young black men, at risk of STIs to understand when things swell, you don't think too well. As a result, you need to talk about condoms with your partner a long time before you're ready to have sex. So that's the basic conclusion, and I think, unless I'm wrong, my timing is just about right. Hey, pretty cool. All right. So I'll stop there and take a couple questions. Yes. Now that's the next thing, and I wish there was someone in the room who would like to pick this up and run with it. If you're out there, let's talk later and we'll design the study, because someone really needs to do this at the event level. So it's measured on one of these, and you'd have to have guys in your study agree that at some point they're going to report. It would probably have to be after the fact. If you do it before the fact, this becomes an intervention. Right? And that could be good too, but that's an expensive intervention to scale up and use across the country. So it's a little tricky, but your question is right on the money for sure. Yes?
Did you also look at who initiates the conversation, whether it's men or women who initiate the conversation?
That's another great question. Yeah, in this particular study, we asked, did you discuss condom use with your partner? But we don't know if the partner was the initiator and the guy reciprocated, or vice versa. So there's, you know, this is the beauty of research. If you're a researcher, you know there's no such thing as terminal findings. One finding leads to 7 more questions that have to be asked. Anyone else? All right, very perfect timing. All right, thank you.